2009. This is the year of evangelism, and so we are planning many things that have to do with our mission here on earth is to do evangelism, is to spread the good news. And that's why about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, we started planning this Sabbath, knowing that the third Sabbath of every month is the time that we as a church go out into the community to distribute literature. We invited David Sturm to be here with us. David Sturm, and some of you probably already read this, but he is an employee of the Pacific Press full-time, and he is associated with what they call the Good News Evangelism of Signs of the Times. So this morning he is here with us to worship together and to share the good news. David, welcome to Valley View, and may the Lord bless you.
Well, good morning. How are all the saints in Valley View doing today? Listen, even though I'm not an ordained minister, I feel a burden to help bring the message to the world. I'm just a common person who feels the need to do something these days. For one thing, I wasn't raised in the Adventist Church or any other church. I was 20 years old before I knew anything about Seventh-day about Adventist or going to church on Saturday. So it's my burden to reach people. You notice my sermon title is Searching for God. There's a lot of people in the world who are searching for God. And as I look over my life when I was young, there's a lot of people in the world in the same condition I was in. There's a lot of people who believe in God. They believe very strong in Him, but they don't know how to follow Him. There's a lot of confusion in the world about God and who He is and what He's like. So it's my burden to reach these people because I know that God has more of His people still wandering around in the world that are in our church. They just don't know about it yet. So it's up to us to let them know that God can deliver them and give them a new life and a better life. I know you see what I do, and you know, but I'm going to give you a testimony and a message and tell you what took place to cause me to what I'm doing today. Now, starting out in life, I was born in Illinois, but I didn't grow up there. And when I was like 3 years old, like around 1947, we moved to Southern California, to the Mojave Desert area over near Lancaster. That's where we grew up. Now, we didn't go to church, but my mother believed very strong in God. And she used to read the Bible quite a bit to herself. And once in a while, she would tell me things. And once in a while, she'd tell me that someday, when I grow up, not to drink. That's because my dad drank. But he had a lot of good points about it. And, you know, he supported us. We didn't do it out like a lot of families with this problem. But she said it wasn't good to do it anyway. So as time went on, I got to be older. From the time I was 10, 11, 12, I believed very strong in God, but we didn't go to church. So you just follow God in your own way. And even you pray to God. Even though your prayers are very crude, God understands them because He knows your heart. And then as I got to be a little bit older, I was 13, almost 14, my mother died. And then after that, as I got to be older, I still believed in God. And as I got to be like a teenager now, and anybody that would invite me to church, I would go. But back in those days, most all the churches I went to, you know, preached a lot of hellfire and brimstone, which didn't bother me. I figured everybody believed the same on those things. And then as I get to be a little older, the thing my mother told me not to do, the drinking part, while I was still yet a teenager, I ended up doing. And then as time got to go on more, some of you remember here, back in the later 50s, early 60s, we thought World War III was going to start any day. In 1962, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis that almost started a war. Now, I was in the Army at that time. I was in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And they had us on call to go to Florida. And I started worrying about things. And back then, the Vietnam War hadn't been started yet. Something was happening. They just wanted volunteers to go. There was nothing like it got to be. And so I was concerned about life, and I thought, and I got thinking about things. I said, what if we get in a war? What if I get killed? And I used to wonder what heaven is like, and I used to worry about what hell is like, all this hellfire and brimstone I've been hearing about. So I brought this little Bible with me. This is a very important Bible. This is the first Bible I ever had in my life. They give you one of these when you go into the service. Now, I was 18 years old at that time. And I wanted to start reading the Bible and learning more about God. And here's another thing I have a hard time explaining. I went through a period of time when I was young that I couldn't open the Bible and read it without fear and trembling. I was told the Bible is the Word of God, so very close, so I was very careful with it. See, growing up at home, even though we didn't go to church, God's name was not mentioned very often. And it wasn't used in vain or anything. When it was very special, it had something to do with reverence. So they grew up with reverence for God. They told me the Bible is the Word of God, so like I said, I was careful with it. But I read, and then I come to the, and then something I understand, something I don't. But in the back of this Bible, it tells about being a sinner and what God can do about it. So I read it, and there's a place that says, my decision to receive Christ my Savior, confessing to God that I'm a sinner, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross and was raised for my justification, I do now receive and confess Him as my personal Savior. And I signed it and dated it December 3rd, 1962. Now this is like a baptism to me. I was very serious about this. At the same time, I had no church and I still drank part of the time wanting to be a Christian. But this is what we need to understand when we are working with people in the world, yet God takes people where they're at. Sometimes we like them to be somewhere right away, but God takes me where they're at. And back in those days, I didn't know I was being led anywhere. I continued this kind of life. I ended up in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. That's where I was until 1974. It's when I got out. I mean, 64. I'm getting way ahead. 1964. And I got out, and I returned back to California where I grew up. About that time, I had a brother and sister-in-law move over by San Bernardino, Riverside area. And I went over there to visit them. I stayed there for a little while. I went to work for a nursery doing landscaping. Now, my brother and sister-in-law were always involved with church, and they went to church. So I went to church with them. I told my brother after church, I said, you know, I said, I'm confused. I said, I want to follow God and do what's right. I said, I've been to a lot of churches. I said, they all say basically the same thing, but they all say they're God's true church. I said, I want to know, is this God's church that you're going to? And he said he didn't know. He said, the best thing to do is find your one you like and go there, which was fine. That was good advice. So anyway, the following Friday after work, I decided to go up by Lancaster. I grew up to see the ones I knew, you know, we were worldly, you know, and we ended up drinking. It became Sunday night, late at night, and I said, I need to go back to San Bernardino to work tomorrow. Well, I don't know what I was doing driving, I think. I don't remember if anybody here remember where Highway 138 is from Palmdale, comes up by Cajon Summit. I very remember leaving, and I don't know how I got halfway back, but I had a very bad accident. I don't remember the accident, but I rear-ended this, I don't know if it was a semi-truck, it was like a 5 or 10 ton truck loaded with plums. I didn't know this until later. See, I didn't even know the police were after me. They said I was going like 100 miles an hour. I didn't know any of this. The only thing I remember is waking up on the road yelling, God, saying, I rear-ended the truck and it rolled the truck and I just woke up in the road. And I thought I was dying, you know. And I couldn't open my eyes. I thought they were full of sand. It was just ground glass. My whole face was scraped. I had a sprained hip and shoulder. I could walk, but not very well. But I was very thankful to be that well off. And the first thing I worried about, I thought my drinking might have killed someone. He got hurt a little bit, and then we got killed, so that gave me relief. And I knew at that time that God had saved my life for some reason. And I'm still thankful now, 40-some years later. See, I had a brother-in-law's brother that was drinking and driving, had a similar accident, that got paralyzed and knocked down. These things happen, sometimes you get killed. So I was very thankful God spared my life. So after this, I couldn't work for a month or two, I was too sore from this accident. About that time, I had a sister moved to a town called Lodi, California. Tell me here right more where Lodi is, between Stockton and Sacramento. So my sister said, oh, it's nice here. Why don't you come? She said, come up here, and there's a lot of work and stuff. So I said, okay. So I took a bus to Lodi. I didn't have a car anymore. Well, if you know anything about Lodi, California, you cannot live there too long without hearing about Adventist one way or another. This is back in 1964. And the city was like 25,000 people, but they have two Adventist churches like with 1,000 members each. They have a 12th grade school called Lodi Academy. So when I was able to go to work, I went looking for this same kind of work. And this one certain man hired me. Now I noticed he was different. I noticed he carried a Bible with him to work. But the main thing I noticed of anything else, he was happy and enjoyed living. We use this expression, this is a happy-go-lucky person. Well, we have something to be happy about. God has given us life. I don't care what kind of problems a person has, whether they have financial problems, marriage problems, no matter what kind of problems come your way, there's one thing no one can take from you, and that's peace with God. And this man looked like he had peace with God, but I don't know what church he went to. And he didn't preach to me or nothing. He noticed I didn't smoke. He said, are you a Christian? I said, I believe in God. I just never really liked smoking. He didn't say any more, but the rest of the week, I could tell he's just happy to be alive on earth. So it comes Friday, close to quitting time, and I asked him if we're going to work the next day. And he said, no, he went to church. And this was new to me. I said, what? What do you go to church on Saturday for? He said, why do you go on Sunday? I said, I don't go very often. That's where everybody else goes, you know. And he showed me the Bible. I said, they call Sunday the Sabbath day? And then he mentioned that about the Sabbath day and the commandments, and you don't think about these things. And he showed me the Bible about Jesus rose the first day of the week. That's where Easter comes from, and all these different things. And he showed me all stuff. And he said, well, how would you like to come to church once and see what it's like? He said, if you don't like it, you don't have to come back. I said, I'll come once. I've been to a lot of churches. This is back in November of 64. So the next day, him and his wife come and pick me up and bring me to church. So the only thing I know about this church at that time was they went to church on Saturday. But I don't know what it was about it. I've been to a lot of different churches. I don't know whether they had Sabbath school or church, exactly what it was. I liked it, and I was comfortable with it, and I kept going. And then about 2 months later, in January of 65, HMS Richards Jr., he started having evangelist meetings in Stockton, right close to there. I went to about every one of these meetings. I was getting so excited about these things. I don't know, especially the state of the dead. That one gave me a lot of peace. But everything was making sense. I mean, even the Sabbath day, you know, even though it's one of the Ten Commandments, it's actually more of a blessing that God gives His people. But everything was being put together and it was making a lot of sense. But here's the wonderful thing about God. Not only did He save your life from an accident, because you're new life. Just a lost, like the lost sheep. You're lost and you're found, and you're dead and He gives you life. And here's something I'll never understand. He said, I'll write my law in your heart, you're a new person. He changes your life and makes you a new person before you ever change your own. And as you walk with Him, you learn. I want to refer back to that scripture reading in John 3, 14 and 15. See, in the world, among most religions, most Christians, you know, John 3, 16 is the most quoted verse in the Bible among Christian religions. But you don't hear the ones before it very often. When I was back in Fort Leonard Wood reading this Bible, I would come across this. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, how, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And I wonder, what does that really talk about? I already knew that Jesus was my Savior. I already knew He died on the cross. But He says, as Moses done this, we're to do this. I want to know what took place when Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. Now, I didn't do it then, but I looked at it later. The children of Israel were always complaining. Another thing, God always tries to get His backslidden people to return to Him. He said, return it to me, I'll return it to you, I will not hold my anger forever. But he just led them to the Red Sea, He led them out of bondage, and they're out there in the wilderness complaining about the food and the water and everything else, and blaming God and Moses for being your brows out of here to die, we're better off in Egypt. They didn't realize that God had been protecting them all along. I think the snakes were already there. And the Bible says that, and then the snakes started biting the people. The Bible says that many people were dying. I think so many, I thought they were going to be wiped out. So they come to their senses. They knew they needed God. So they wanted to repent. And they come back to God. And they came to Moses and said, we have sinned against God. And we sinned against you. And we'd like to know if you'll pray to God and ask Him to take the snakes away. Did I mention that Moses' story in Numbers 21 from verse 5 to 9, where this took place? And so, anyway, so Moses went and prayed about it. And God told him what to do. He said, make an image of the snake that's biting him out of brass and put it on a pole and raise it up, and it'll come to pass that anyone that gets bit, when they look at it, they'll be healed. And they did know that that represented Jesus coming dying for them someday. So when someone got bit, they're so weak they're ready to die and they can't walk. And soon, but when people carry it, and they looked at it, they're healed just like this. The Bible commentary said they were healed by faith, which they were. If they didn't have the faith to be healed and they looked at it, they wouldn't have been healed. But they knew that was their way back to God and they wanted to get back right with God. But what does this have to do with us? Just like they knew, with a shadow of a doubt, they looked into this, it gives them life through Jesus. We also know, with a shadow of a doubt, that we look into Jesus and we have eternal life because God has promised it. Do you know that it says in Steps to Christ that we don't have to feel we're saved through Jesus? You can claim it as a promise. See, what happens in our life, whether you grew up in the church or grew up in the world, makes no difference. When you have to come to a point, you have to accept Jesus and give your life to Him and have a new life through Him. Here's what it says in Steps to Christ, you know what happens. Okay. You come to God, you ask for forgiveness, He forgives you of all your sins. You start your life with God as a newborn again Christian. And He says, when you get baptized and make this confession, and He does this. He says, I'll cast your sins to the bottom of the sea, I'll remember them no more. But we have a problem remembering because of our sinful nature, and we never feel good enough or worthy enough. But He's done it, and just believe it. So what happens? This is what it says in Steps of Christ, what happens? We start this new life as a born-again Christian walking with God, like we've never sinned. Then Satan comes along and says, well, now that you're saved through Jesus, now you got to prove yourselves worthy of being saved. So he tries to get your relationship with God to become legalism and works. Legalism and works is bondage, and it don't set you free. You're already set free. You don't keep him to be saved. You can keep him because he already saved you. Then you can keep him by walking with him. You walk with God daily. You know, you look at the past. Some of us have done things that even though God forgives you, the results can affect you the rest of your life. But you can't live in the past. You can't live in the future. Day to day is the day of salvation. Rejoice and be happy because without Him we have no life, you know. You know, it says in James 4 that life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while and gone. When Jesus was here, He referred to some of the Jews as the living dead. Because there is no life without Him. I mean, He is life. Without Him, we are the living dead. He's the only way and there's no other way. So anyway, I'd like to say more about this, but I'm going to go back to Lodi in 1965 and tell you. So, see, I was so excited. See, just the fact that God not only saves your life, but He gives you a new life and makes you new. Just the fact He made you a new person is enough to start witnessing. I started witnessing people before I ever knew very much. Just immediately I started wanting to witness to people and tell them about these things. And my sister I was staying with, I said, look what I'm learning. Look at this about the state of the dead. Look about the Sabbath day. Well, she wasn't interested at the time. I'm the youngest one in the family, and she thought I was getting mixed up or something. And she just joined a different church before that. So she wasn't interested, but I still witnessed to people. Now, I had a brother and sister-in-law that had moved to Medford, Oregon, back in the 60s, like 64 or something. And they, around 1966 or something like that, 67, they came down to Lodi to visit. Now, my sister-in-law, you know, at the time, she accepted it right away. For her and I were very good friends. I've known her since I was 12 years old. We used to talk about the Bible a lot together. Her dad used to be a Baptist preacher. And then, so anyway, I stayed around Lodi for a while. And then I came up around 1967, I came up here to visit. And I liked this area, and I wanted to move here. And so I moved up here in the fall of 67, and I'm here in 68, and I went to this church. Is there anybody here who was here in 1967 and 8? I don't think you remember me because I look different. But anyway, but I was here in 1967 8, and 8, going to this church. And then my sister-in-law came. She was coming to this church. But then she later went to Williams. I moved around a bit. See, it's a beautiful area. It's different than the Mojave Desert, you know. But what I'm saying, but back in those days, it rained a lot more than I was used to. And where I made the big mistake, in 1968, they built a new city hall in Medford. And some company out of Portland was landscaping it. And I went to work for them. I worked for them for a month and a half in that. And they talked me into moving to Portland and working for them. Well, I went up there in November, And I was there until spring, and it drizzled all winter. And I didn't stay there. And then I moved around a little bit, and I didn't settle down until 1974 is when I moved to Caldwell, Idaho, over near Boise. We have academy there, church school. And it's a desert type climate. Yeah, it's close to the mountain. So in an hour you can be in beautiful forest, and a little while you can be out in the desert. So anyway, I liked it, but the landscaping work you couldn't do in the winter time for about 4 or 5 months. So I started this other little kind of business, a little wholesale florist type business. I used to travel on selling things. But see, ever since the time that God had saved my life in the Mojave Desert and sent me up to Lodi, I always had a burden to do some kind of evangelism. What do you have to do to be an evangelist? You just be a Christian in everyday life and you are an evangelist. You don't have to have an office in church. You don't have to do nothing but be a Christian. You just walk with God. We're here and we're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to minister to people coming our way. You're here for people and they need you. Be honest and upright. Have compassion on people. Treat a stranger as a family member. And that's all you need to do. And be there for people. Tell them that God has something better for them. And so I used to get these Steps to Christ at camp meeting and get boxes 100 at a time, these little paperback ones. I'd hand them out to anybody who wanted them. I'd leave them for motel maids and things like this. Over the last 40-some years, I know several people that got converted to our Steps to Christ. They still get things now, and the maids get signed at times. And this kind of thing. And so, anyway, during the years that I was traveling around doing these things, like I say, ever since I entered the church, I've just been in evangelism because of what God has done for me. So, during the years I was doing these things, in 1983, we had first heard mentioned that Pacific Press Publishing is thinking about moving. You know, we have two main publishing houses. That one, it was in the San Francisco Bay Area for over 100 years, and Review and Herald, they have over near Washington, D.C. by Hagerstown, Maryland. And they, in 1983, we first heard mentioned they was thinking about moving. They couldn't afford to be there much longer. So they looked around all the western states. I even think they looked up here. They looked in Arizona, and they chose to move to the Boise area. It moved there in 84. I want to tell you something. It doesn't seem possible. It's been there 25 years. Now, it just moved there. And it was a big move. Like, I don't know how many people, 100 to 200 people worked there. And no one ever dreamed it moved there. I mean, they thought they'd move to the wilderness or something. But anyway, it has done very good. And some old-timers that worked there told me, said it was prophesied in time the end the press had moved to a remote area. It didn't. It's doing very well. And after it moved and got settled, I thought, oh, it'd be so nice to go to work there. This is God's publishing house. He's done a lot of things for me in my life. If I go to work there, I wouldn't have to travel no more. They work 4 days a week and 10 hours a day. That's the normal hours. And you get a 3-day weekend every weekend. But I didn't have no experience. They didn't have no opening. Well, you know, time flies by. It gets to be 1988. And I thought, boy, if I don't go to work there soon, I'll never go to work there. I keep getting older, you know. And so I had a friend that went to the same church I did that worked in the press room. And one day he told me, he said, someone is going to be leaving the press room soon. He said, you got to try to get the job before they find someone else. I said, okay. So I went back and talked to him 4 or 5 times. That guy didn't want to hire me first. Like I was too old, and this was 21 years ago. But the press that prints this magazine prints 30,000 an hour. That's almost 9 every second. It takes 4 to 5 people to run this web press. You have to make... you don't stop them. You have to make corrections while it runs. So you have to think fast and move fast. So they wanted to hire a young man and train him, and they hadn't all his life. You know, when you're young, you can probably move faster and think faster. Why train someone and work life was half over? But the man I was talking to about the job, I tried to convince him to hire a young man in his 40s. I said, why don't you let me work in here for a week? I said, if I can't do the job or handle it, you don't have to pay me. I'll donate my time. But by then he seen I really wanted to work there. He said, oh, no, you don't have to do that. I'll give you a chance to work here. So I got to work there in April of 88, like 21 years ago. And here's the thing. I've been going to the Adventist church since November of 64. But up until the time I went to work here, I knew very little about Signs of the Times magazine. I just knew it existed. Because Steps to Christ was the only book ever handed out to a new person. When it came time to print Signs, Ken Holland was the editor, and he's retired now. And I looked at it and said, boy, that's a good magazine for the world. See, that's what this is not a church magazine. It's a Christian magazine for anyone who likes it. So what I did is I immediately started sending signs to all my family and friends. And time goes by. About 3 months go by, and I get on full time. And then 3 more years ago, I guess it'd be 1991, nothing great happening, just a peaceful place to be, nice place to work, but nothing great going on in life. But anyway, things start happening in 91. One day in 91, one of my sisters called me. She's the same one that used to live in Lodi. She called me to tell me how much she liked this magazine articles in it, and that surprised me. Because she never wanted to know about it before. But now she liked the magazine, she wanted to know about it. I had a bigger surprise right after this. I have another sister that lives in Ventura, California. She's my oldest sister. She's 20 years older than I am. She don't call me once every 5 or 10 years. We didn't grow up together. But she felt impressed to call me and tell me she liked this magazine. Well, after they called me, I started getting excited. I have a sister that lives in Illinois, where we came from, who is 18 years older than I am. When we moved to California in 47, she's already married, so she stayed there. So I called her, because she knew who was sending it. I wanted to see if she liked it, so I talked to her about it. And I said, do you like this magazine? Should I quit sending it? She says, quit sending it. It's my favorite magazine. So I started getting more excited. Now, I grew up down there by Lancaster. What I'd done back when I first started working the press, when I sent signs, I went to a library and found a phone book from that area. And I looked up all the people I knew, the ones who went to school, that never moved away. I got their address out of the phone book and started sending signs to them. I called one of my friends one night. He wasn't there. I talked to his wife. His wife told me she liked it and she wanted to keep getting it. Well, by now, I was extremely excited. I started asking him all kinds of questions. How many printing signs? Whose idea was it? Who's the first editor? And they're busy. I'd be like a pest. I thought, what is this new man so excited about something we've had for over 100 years for? But, you know, we get in these ruts. When I started going to this church in 64, I thought Jesus might come by 1980. And here it is, 2009. We're still here. But, hey, do you see what's happening? The things that we have talked about, this church has talked about for many years, we're starting to see happen before our eyes. And we have, and it's time for us to do something. And they started, and they seen I'm so excited, they started giving me answers. They said, oh, it was originally James White's idea. He was the first editor. So they went, what they did is they went to the trouble. And they gave me the front page copy of the very first signs ever printed. I always bring one along, share it. This is the first signs. This is June 4 of 1874. This is a very interesting article on how wicked the world is. It's this is the front page of 8 pages. So this article entitled A True Story was finished on the front page of the second one printed. So I asked, like, have the first 16 pages so I can finish reading it. Well, they had to go in a vault and get them out. They'd done it. He's a very nice poem about finished work, seemingly like shake the dust off and get busy type of thing. He starts out to say, we give below a startling description of the state of the church in the world, and he goes on and talks about it. But I just wonder if he'd say he's alive now. But the world's always been wicked. The reason why signs was started was to warn people in the world about Jesus' second coming. And when this one, and that's still the reason, and when this one here was printed, they didn't have, this is done at an outside shop, they didn't have a publishing house yet. 4 months later, in October of 1874, they had a camp meeting in a town called Yountville, California, where about 400 people came to this camp meeting. The main purpose for camp meeting that year was to raise money to start a publishing house. They raised over $19,000, not a lot then, and the first one was started in Oakland, and it was originally started to print signs and took on other things later. And back in those days, James White always referred to signs as a silent preacher. He said it does the work a preacher can't do, because what it does is brings people to the preacher. So here's where I was at in life. I was excited about signs because my family and friends were liking it. And I had a burden for signs, but I didn't know what to do about it. The only thing I knew to do is I started donating money to Signs World Evangelism. Well, Gary Grimes, who was in charge of Signs World Evangelism, couldn't understand who this man in the press room was who would send money up once in a while in the mail to him. And so one day he came down to meet me to find out why I'm doing this. I said, because I'm excited about science and my family and friends are liking it, and I have a burden to help science, so he goes away happy or something. Well, what he didn't know, or no one at the press knew but me, I had an extremely strong burden for science. I explain it to you, but I knew God wanted me to do something, then give him money, but how are you going to do that if something falls you enough? I knew nothing about it. So I just prayed about it every day, at home and at the press. Now, they do have a prayer room at the press. But I didn't have time to go to a prayer room. If that press runs for 10 hours, you just hang around there for 10 hours. And so every morning when I go to work, see, it's web press. There are rolls of paper that weigh from 1,000 pounds to a ton, depending on what kind of paper you're using. They have pillars in the storeroom of these paper for this web press. That was my prayer room. especially when I would talk to God about this thing. I said, I have no idea what you want me to do about signs other than give money. It's the only thing I need to do. I said, if you want me to gain more than that, you want me to make it known somehow, work upon the hearts of the people here at the press or something, but I have no idea what you want me to do. You know, it's amazing the way God works. He don't always perform miraculous miracles. We don't always hear voices and things like this. The thing is, we have what we need to do God's work to start doing it. And someone say, I don't know much. I said, well, tell me what you do know. Well, the rest of the story I'm going to tell you, it's absolutely amazing what God can do with someone who don't know what they're doing or how to do it. Because I'm saying, I want to do something I knew nothing about. It was still 91. All these things happened since 91. This is April of 91, that now where I'm at. In April of 91, one day the press was stopped. They were changing plates or something. Now, in the lobby of the press, we have an ABC bookstore. So I had a chance to go up there and get something. For the first time in my life, I seen one of these yellow boxes. They just had one to experiment with. And immediately, as soon as I seen that box, I thought, now that's one of the best things that science ever come up with. And I immediately went to Gary Grimes and ordered two of them. When I ordered them, it took 2 to 4 months to get them. See, the company that makes these, they make about 75 to 80% of all the paper products in the United States. They're made over by San Antonio, Texas. Now, meanwhile, while I was waiting to get my boxes, I was excited about something. I didn't know I was excited about, but I was happy about it anyway. And I belong to the Eagle, Idaho Church. I borrowed the box from the press to show it to my church. I said, when these boxes come, I'm going to give them to the church. The church will help me get the magazines. He said, okay. Meanwhile, while I was still waiting to get my boxes, camp meeting started in June. So I went up the first Sabbath day camp meeting. I go up there. Gary Grimes is up on the platform in the box at camp meeting. Tell me, I was getting more excited. I knew God was doing something. You know, I didn't know what it was, but I just knew He was doing something. And Gary Grimes told about it. He said, well, he said, we'd like every church in the conference to have one of these. So they took a special offering at camp meeting. They raised enough money to buy 38 of these for the 38 church in the conference ordered them. So when that happened, that gave me an idea. I went and talked to the president of the press. I talked to our Idaho conference president, Steve McPherson. I said, I have an idea. I said, when the conference gets these boxes and they send them to the churches, it'd be nice if someone could go there. I said, to the church, tell them more about signs, help them place their box. They need help placing it and get them going on it. I said, or else next year, half of them will be sitting in a back room somewhere. He said, oh, that's a good idea. You can go. But I didn't know what I was doing or asking because I'd never spoken in a church before. Back in 91, if they asked me to give a mission report in Sabbath school, I was shook in my boots. And I did shake in my boots. When I borrowed the box and press, I was in front of my church about 5 minutes. I was so nervous I could hardly talk. I never had such a dry mouth in my life. The pastor, I'm not joking with you, he actually thought I was going to pass out. I was really red and I was nervous. And here I must have a church service. I guess my burden is greater than my fear. My wife said, what in the world is going wrong with you? You know, I was in my mid-40s at the time. I think she thought I was having some kind of midlife crisis or something. And I told her, I said, you know I have a burden for signs. I said, I want to make sure that box is not working, I'm sending it to church. I said, I'll go every other week. I'll go with you 1 week, I'll do this 1 week. Well, it was August of 91 by the time the conference got the boxes. So the rest of 91 and all of 92, I went out every other week. I started going to real small churches first, got so nervous. See, Eastern Oregon, part of Eastern Oregon is an Idaho conference. So Burns, Oregon and Weezer, Idaho are my first two churches. And I started seeing silent preacher stories right away. And so everyone thinks about the silent preacher. Every magazine that they send with this box has a Bible study card in it. Now, you can do this different, but they don't want them falling out. The stores don't like these to fall in the sidewalk and places. But anyway, this card goes right straight to the Voice of Prophecy. And I don't know if you had to Discover Bible School, but what a lot of churches do, they'll have their own little label made that says, and then that with a local post office box or whatever, and they'll put it over this, and then the card will come right straight to you if you'd rather do it that way. Or you can do this and use a different amazing fax, whatever you want. But they also have an 800 number of people in here call for Bible studies. Well, my third church was to be over, there's a town over on the other side of Twin Falls called Burley and Rupert. There's a little town between them called Hayburn, and that's where the church is at for there. That was my third church I was supposed to go to in November of 91. Well, the pastor called me at the press while I was working and changed his mind and said, told me not to come to church. He said, well, we have a church of like 50 members. He said, we have a church school. We have a real tight budget. He said, even though the boxes are free, we can't afford to buy the magazines for them. I already sent it back to conference. Don't come. No big deal. I won't come. I didn't think nothing of it. Well, God must have thought something of it. I go home from work that night and I'm watching the 10 o'clock news. On the news, they were talking about Satan worship in Minidoka County, which is Burley and Rupert. They were showing all the problems they're having this thing. They showed the mayor of Rupert with a big auditorium full of people. Christians of all denominations came together to pray about this problem they're having. And I thought to myself, I told my wife, they need signs there, and the pastor told me not to come. So I go to work the next day. I didn't call the pastor back. I got information, and I called the mayor of Rupert. I told him I'd watch the news. I said, I see the problem you're having there. I told him where I worked. I said, we have a Christian magazine called Signs of the Times. I said, it's a Christian magazine for anyone who likes them. I said, we put them in a newspaper box. We put them at stores and places, and they're free to anybody who wants them. He said, oh, that's a good idea. I think I know you can put one. I said, good. So I called the pastor back. I told the pastor I watched the news, and I said, also, I talked to the mayor of Rupert, and he said he wants signs there. So the pastor told me, get the box and bring it back. Now, I don't remember what date I was going to in November. I went there 2 days after Thanksgiving in November 91. We put it at Smith's Food King Superstore. Over the next year, I had over 20 requests for Bible studies. There's another little town called Eden, Idaho. It's a very small town. And they had a church with five members where he was the pastor. And we put their box in the post office. Well, the following year at camp meeting, he seen me, and he stopped me to tell me they had some evangelist needs in Eden where five people got baptized, but part of them came from this. Because they put a little advertisement in here about the evangelist meetings, and it was a stepping stone to meetings. And then in 92 alone, there were 200 requests in our conference. Where I got a church in Eagle, there's a town called Emmett. It's about 20 miles away. They had the same pastor we did. We put their box at an IGA store. A man named Alan Thompson sent in a card wanting Bible studies. His wife didn't want to do them at first, but he'd done them anyway. Then he went to some evangelist meetings. Well, August of 92, Alan got baptized. I went to his baptism. He had to do his signs. Well, ever since he's entered the church, he's been very active. He's been an elder for quite a few years now. But his wife, within 2 or 3 years, his wife with like 7 or 8 other family members, like daughters and son-in-laws, joined the church. Because when a person becomes converted, it becomes contagious. So that's what happened to Alan. This is what happened to me. When I seen all those requests for Bible studies, I seen Alan get baptized, I put 2 and 2 together and figured out what God wanted me to do. So I wrote out a proposal and sent it up to the president of the press, suggesting to him how this could be done throughout North America. So immediately, he had the vice president of marketing contact me. So in January 93, I have a new job at the press. I don't work in the press room no more. I have a job of promoting science throughout North America. They didn't know what to call me, so they called me a science field evangelist. And I went to work there in 88 to, you know, stay home and quit traveling. And now I'm traveling more than ever, but it doesn't bother me because I knew it was God's doing. And then one of the suggestions I had to the president was this. I said, when I go to a church, I said, they don't want to wait 2 to 4 months for a box. They want them now. I said, I have the press by 100 at a time. I'll take some with me and get them right in the spot. The ABC can bill them for them. I'll bring magazines for them. So they worked it out. They sent letters to every conference in North America telling about this new job I'm starting. But no one knew nothing about me or nothing like that. And no one called me. And it was we ordered 100 boxes. They didn't get there until about the end of January in 1993, yeah, I guess. Yeah, and then so I had an old 1974 truck, an old 2-ton truck like a U-Haul. I put 50 of them in it with a bunch of magazines. I put my car in a tow dolly. I headed down to Arizona. I borrowed a couple of conference directories. I went to a bunch of them in Arizona, like Needles, California, Blythe, and those kind of places. And I went to a town called Lake Havasu. Well, the following year, they had 3 baptisms. And I didn't go to every church down there. About 5 years ago or so, I went to church on the Navajo Reservation in Chinle, Arizona, where the following year, they had 5 baptisms. So the next year, I went to 2 more in the Navajo Reservation, Kayenta and Monument Valley. Then back in Gary Grimes started telling about what I'm doing at workers' meetings. One of the first conferences that invited me was the Gulf States and Nebraska, Kansas. I think they were the first one, but we have a story right now. We have people coming to church and people getting baptized around the country from this. And I'm going to tell you this one story. I'll tell you a recent one real fast because time's flying. But anyway, when I'm gone, I go to 3 or 4 or 5 churches a week. I go to prayer meetings during the week. I go to 2 or 3 churches Sabbath day. This happened about 11 or 12 years ago. I want to talk about the editor. Our editor in the last 13 years or so has been Marvin Moore. I really like Marvin Moore as editor. One of the things he does, he goes through the 27 or 8 fundamental beliefs. He does most of them every year. He covers the main 5 2 or 3 times a year, like the Sabbath day, State of the Dead. He does them in articles. Like for this like this one. I tell you what, first of all, do you like the size of the magazine? It used to be twice this big. I didn't want to do it, but they didn't care. So they made, anyway, so it's like this because of this. But it's the same magazine, it has 64 pages instead of 32. But the thing is, it's been very timely, the things in it. Like the one in there, the guy, the suitcase, Economic Hard Times, a Biblical Prediction. And then this is a May one, God's Healthcare Plan, other good things in it. Now, the one came out in June is going to be very good. I don't know about the picture, but it's out-of-body experiences. Because these are things that are in the world that people want to know about, that are confused about. And some of you, have you heard about the 2012 thing? That Chichen Itza, the pyramid, the Maya Indians, saying when the king's going to come back? Well, I see it in Discover Station. They said the king's going to come back. But the thing is, it's going to be in science sometime the next few months. It's going to be in a cover story to talk about it. So anyway, I was one Wednesday night, I had a prayer meeting in a town called Fairhope, Alabama, a suburb of Mobile. And we put one in a Walmart store. We can't put them at Walmarts no more. They, not just science boxes, they don't let you have any, not even real estate. They don't do it no more. But anyway, back then they did. There was this one real nice Baptist family, wonderful Christians, that enjoyed picking us up. They read this, ever since Marvin Moore, he has done this about these things we believe. They were reading about the Sabbath day, stay of the dead. They called the 800 number, want to know, why do you people go to church on Saturday? Why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? They told them where churches were. I guess they must have asked. They just showed up to church in that town. They liked it. They kept going. About a year or two after that, they went to the Gulf States camp meeting in Mississippi, where Marvin Moore was a speaker at camp meeting that year. He baptized with people at camp meeting. Now, I met these people the following year on my way to Florida. And the first thing they told me is, if you wouldn't have this box there, we wouldn't know about this wonderful message. And they got one of their own. And then recently, 2 years ago, I was in the New England area. I was by White River Junction, Vermont, and West Lebanon, New Hampshire. And the pastor just called me a few months ago, and he said, I'm Pastor Andrade that was there, and we've had some baptisms in the science box. I'm in Philadelphia now. When can you come to Philadelphia? So probably somewhere between now and fall. I don't have any more time. So these are things. And another thing, they get several thousand Bible study cards every month, and there's more. And I know there's more people who like it than we hear from. And you know, I used to think I was spinning my wheels. Years ago, before they had radio and television, you know, word of mouth or printed pages are the only way you could do evangelism. Nowadays, people think, all you need is radio and television. But in reality, how many people in the world watch our programs? Not a lot. And this is just another way. God uses the radio and television, but this reaches some that they don't. It's a quiet way. And I also know that you won't know until the end of time actually how many people this reaches. People come in at time and end over things they read in the past. We're just sowing seeds that only God and angels know what the results are going to be. So I'm here today and I'm gone tomorrow. I'm going to tell you just quickly about this, and you can tell me on the way out of church what you like about this. But these boxes are very well made. And they changed them about 5 years ago. They used to rust quicker. They galvanize and powder coat them before they paint them so they don't rust as fast. But these boxes are $299, but they have them buy one, get one free. Science World Evangelism pays other free box. Whatever you get, they're buy one, get one free. Okay, that's the boxes. One time only thing. Now, I'm not going to hand these out, but this is a single subscription order form. If anybody would like to send science to their self or a friend, that's what this is. For $14.49 a year, you can send science to somebody for 12 issues for a full year. For the price of a pizza that's gone in 15 or 20 minutes, you can send it to somebody for a full year, and they won't need Rolaids or nothing like that. So that's the way that goes. Now, but for the box, you can get less if you get at least 100 to 190 times. 100 to 199, they're $10.25 a subscription. In other words, that'd be $1,025 a year, or about $85 a month if you've done it in a standing order. The price is saying you're billed monthly. That's for one. If you get 200 more, they're $1.25, that's for $9. So that's 100, that'd be $150 a month for 200 magazines. Current signs with Bible study cards in them. And I was here yesterday, because what I do is I go around And I look for places to put these before I come to church. Now, the good place to put them is Ray's Market. But Ray's Market, I talked to the manager. He gave me a number of someone in Brookings that it's like Distributech. They contracted out like for the free things I'm talking about. And he said, if you put it there, you might have to take it out and talk to this person. He never answered his phone. I never got a hold of him. I left a message, but I haven't heard from him yet. And so I'll tell you the places I do know where they can go is over by, because I try to go in your church's area rather than Medford Church. Stay in the section you have for doing evangelism. Well, over by Thunderbird, there's an East Main Pharmacy. It's by Thunderbird and the Dollar Tree, a very good place. Okay, my mind thought East Main. No, it's a West Main Pharmacy. But that's why I got permission to put one there at that drugstore. Where you go in the door there. And then Jacksonville don't have paper boxes out there at that grocery store. They don't have them in town. Because they don't want them in town, I guess. On that main street, you know. But if you go down Lozier Lane, Lozier Lane and Stewart, there's a Stewart Market. That's a busy place to go in and out of there. I got permission to put one there. And then I went to Phoenix, but they have a Ray's. Talent, the only place I know when to put one in, when you first come to Talent, is a quick stop market and a quick video or something like that. And then one other place I know you can put one is in Rouge. Does anybody live around by Rouge? About that grocery store there. Right in Rouge there. So these are places I know they can go. And if you're interested in them, like I say, I want to tell you something else. I do not collect money. If anybody here wants to sponsor them, I don't just leave the boxes. I'll even put them in place for you. I have the boxes with me if you do want them. And the ABC builds your church, and you give the money to the church. And the magazines are ordered through the ABC. These are May signs, and these are June signs. I have these with me. And that's what this is. What I do this for is another way to do evangelism. And that's exactly what this is, another way to do a ministry in your community. It's a good personal ministries project or a church or whatever. But you know, if 10 people gave $15 a month each, you can get 200 magazines. But whatever you want to do, just talk to me on the way out of church about this. We don't take off, and if you're interested, don't leave yet. And so, I'm telling you, you're not. And I don't know if you have any questions. If I didn't talk fast, I wouldn't be done yet. I was thinking. Oh, another thing is, if you put these out, say you got 100 magazines. Don't put the whole 100 at once. Put them in weekly. If you put them all at once, in a couple weeks they'd be gone. The rest of the month there's nothing. So it's better to put them in weekly, or at least every 2 weeks, but not once a month. Better put them in weekly if possible. And so, anyway. Talk to me, and thanks for your time. This closing song is 375. Someone come up and lead if they want. I can't sing very good. Okay. Three, what now?
Before I have closing prayer, and I didn't mention this earlier, I do have a brother here visiting. His name is Carl Sturm, and he's in Velma. I didn't say nothing earlier. I didn't want to embarrass anybody. But they're here visiting today, and my grandson next to him. So anyway, I'll have closing prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day and the sunshine, and Jesus' sunshine in our life. And we're talking about evangelism. We're told when the message shall go to the world, then shall the end come. You're with all your programs. You're with us, word of mouth. You're with your radio and television program. You're with the printed page. And we know that when we do what we can, we know the days we're living, and we must do something because we know time is getting short. So be with us as we go home to keep have the rest of the nice and beautiful day. And we praise you and thank you for everything and all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.